This is the Don't Flop podcast. This is Rob Streeter. I'm here with James Mitchell. James, how you feeling?
Rob. Yeah, I'm in the building, Rob. I'm feeling good. We finally getting this thing up and going.
Let's do it. It's episode one. All right, we both feel good. We've been waiting for this for a long time. This project's been a couple months in the making. We finally here. This is Don't Flop podcast. Okay, we're broadcasting through Anchor app. We got Twitter. We got a whole bunch of things to go into. We got to start with this NBA free agency, this offseason. We got Summer League going on. We got a lot of things going on. Lots of interesting things happening. Probably one of the most eventful things going on, right? Too much going on.
A lot of money being made out there right now.
Woo! Almost too much money. Is it too much money, James? Is it too much money?
I think it is. Like, just to keep it all the way real, like, I don't see, you know what, I feel like if our entertainers, NBA players are making that much money, it kind of gets deeper than that, but that we're going to save that for another episode. But to me, it's just out of control. Like $250 million, $220 million. No.
I've actually – somebody made a great point that James Harden is not even 30. He's like 27 years old. Between his shoe deal with Adidas, which was $200 million, and this contract re-up that he just made with $200 million, he's almost worth a half a bill, and he's still so young. He still has so much to go. We were talking earlier the fact that Michael Jordan never even made – $100 million throughout the whole life of his contract. So
yep.
All of his money gets distorted. It kind of really changes how we see these athletes. So getting specifically into the James Harden deal, Steph Curry deal, right? You have these players making $200 million, $500 million. It's going to get even bigger.
Yeah, pretty much.
What does that mean for the NBA going forward? We've always sort of told these athletes that money isn't what you're supposed to play for. You're supposed to play for glory. You're supposed to play for rings. You're supposed to play for winning. We get that from AAU. We get that from high school. You get that to college. You get these college kids making $0, but the coaches make money. The schools for sure make money. How do you tell these 8-9-year-old kids that they're supposed to not take advantage of all these opportunities to just make as much money as they can?
You can't. Like, and anybody who says they can is lying to themselves. And the crazy thing is, and this is my whole issue, you can't tell these kids not to go after $100 million. Like, forget all that. We could. Those are your superstars. Those are. Like, there's no kid is going to be the next LeBron James as far as I'm concerned. I just don't see it happening. But those are your upper echelon superstars, your megastars. You've got your Tim Hardaway Jr. making $70 million over 4 years or whatever it was. Like, now your average players, not even your all-stars, are starting to make crazy money. Like, so now it's just trickling down to being even worse. And the bigger picture for me, you're talking to somebody who, as a kid, knew every word to Michael Jordan's Come Fly With Me tape. Like, you were taught to watch the game, like you said, to win, to love, the passion, the rivalries. That is gone. So the more money that's being made, the less of that you're going to see. Like, that's not going to happen anymore. So now you have to learn to watch the game in a totally different way. And it's tough for me.
So, okay, hey, speaking of Tim Hart. Okay, so you said Tim Hardaway.
Before
Tim
I start crying on the phone.
you said Tim Hardaway Jr. So you know what, let's actually dive into that, right? I have his stats in front of me right now, okay? Last season.
Oh, boy. What did he average?
2017 Atlanta Hawks season. He played in 79 games. He averaged 27 minutes.
That's good.
14.5 points. Okay. 45% from the field.
Yep.
35% from three. 35%
average.
We don't know if he's a two guard. We don't know if he's a one. He handled the ball a lot when he was when they would play small ball. They would kind of have Schroeder out there. Tim Hardaway, you know, when Schroeder got into foul trouble, Tim Hardaway, they would kind of run him at the point. As a point, he only averaged 2.3 assists, so he's not a true point. No, you know, not even a steal, you know, no blocks. So is he worth $70 million? Over 4 years? You know, I mean,
well,
it's
like... In one breath, and from the fans' perspective, and just a person that, like I said, grew up with the game of basketball, I'm going to give you a hell no. Hell no. Like, he hasn't proven a damn thing. Like, I don't understand it. But then, from the perspective of an adult that you go to work to make money, if I go to work tomorrow and they say, you know what, James, we're going to pay you X, Y, and Z, And I'm like, and you're going to give me $70 million to be average? Like, who am I to say, no, let me earn my money? Like, salute to him. But as far as the rest of that goes, I just, oh, my goodness. Like, I told a couple people this. The more money these players start making, the worse it's going to be.
Worse as in the quality of basketball being seen on the floor?
Exactly.
Now, I guess the situation does get different for role players over the superstars. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr. is only going to see one $70 million contract in his career. You know, he's not exactly holding the franchise hostage. I hope so. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's not exactly holding any team hostage, but now contrast that. Okay, so a major topic of the show we want to talk about. We have Steph Curry, we have James Harden, $200 million. It sounds like a lot of money. You know, you hear $200 million, you think that's lottery money. But
yeah,
the NBA is distinctly different in guaranteed contracts. You know, these players, you know, they had their agents kind of work a little bit differently. Their player union kind of moves a little bit differently. An interesting point of view is are they actually getting underpaid? Now, that sounds crazy at first, but look at the Warriors specifically. They had a lot of dark years in those early 2000 years, those Andre Kirilenko days. You know, nobody was loading up to beat the Warriors, right? So when the ownership group that currently owns the Warriors bought the team out, it was, I don't have the numbers exactly in front of me, but it was, you know, probably around $200 million, something like that. Now they're worth several billion dollars. Oracle Arena will be no more. They will be moving into a new arena closer to the Bay Area. They're moving out of Oakland. And that's not because they're exactly they ain't doing that because they couldn't afford the rent. They're doing it because they are now building an entirely new stadium. So these owners are making so much money. Should there be a cap on how much these players made? LeBron James tweeted the other week that Steph should be making $400 million. LeBron signed $1 billion supposedly Nike shoe deal. Now, when you phrase the $200 million in that context, does it still sound as ridiculous to you?
I always come at everything with one foot in, one foot out, because like I said, in one breath, who am I to say anything? Like, but at the end of the day, you're dealing with a multi-billion dollar corporation, and you get, like, you know what, I'm actually glad you brought the Nike deal up. Michael Jordan has his own brand off of Nike. I think the Jordan brand brings in about $2.5, $2.6 billion give or take some, a year on shoe sales, merchandise sales, whatever it is. Michael Jordan gets $100 million from Nike. So it's kind of like almost the same exact thing. I guess it's just hard. It's just hard for me to say, Steph, you should make $400 million. Like, that is, oh, man. That, like you said, like, it's just, this is like mind-blowing. Like, and LeBron is the, he's leading the parade. We want to be paid all this money. We want to do this. We want to do that. Hey, I guess if they're putting in the work, they're putting the fans in the seats. Nobody's coming to a Cleveland game to see who the owner is. Nobody's coming to the Cleveland game to check out anything else but LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith. The players are the one making that money. But in the business world, that's just, I guess, how shit goes. Like, and it's, I don't know. Like, this, the whole money thing, like, you never want to sound like the hater that's saying, oh, you shouldn't be making all that money. But then you don't want to sound like the person that is saying, pay our athletes $500 million to play basketball, but then we pay our teachers $60,000 to teach our kids. You see what I'm saying? So I, you see what I'm saying? Like, I kind of have that. I'm stuck in that gray area.
You're listening to the Don't Flop podcast. This is Rob Streeter here with James Mitchell. We're talking about all of the free agency stuff going on. We're talking about Steph Curry making millions. We're talking about the Golden State Warriors. Sticking with the Golden State Warriors, I actually found the numbers in front of me. Okay, so in 2010, the current ownership group bought the Golden State Warriors. All right.
So that's, what, 7 years ago?
Yeah, in 2010, they paid $450 million to buy the Warriors. Today, the Warriors are the third most valued franchise in the league behind the New York Knicks, number one, at $3.6 billion. They are behind the number two place Los Angeles Lakers, worth a very even $3 billion. And now the Warriors, who bought it again at $460 million, are now worth $2.6 billion. The Chicago Bulls come up fourth with $2.5 billion. You know, the house that MJ built, okay?
Yeah.
So,
yes, sir.
Now, if you look at this top five now, you would think that the Golden State Warriors have been a historical franchise since you know, one of the original OG franchises, you know, been killing it for decades. But the Steph Curry phenomenon, which I have to say, I know our listeners here are new to our banter, but you actually predicted the Steph Curry phenomenon while it was very early.
a couple years ago.
You predicted the hype machine that we all are a part of. You predicted that the hype machine would turn Steph Curry into the
Let me cut you off for 2 seconds. Right, I walked into a gym. I'll never forget this day. I walked into a LA Fitness. I go in. I'm just going to shoot around, get the blood flowing. I look in the gym, and almost there has to be about 10, I'd say, teenagers, 17, 18, young adults. Everyone is doing two ball drills. And I'm looking around like, what the hell am I watching right now? Like, and then it's just stuck in my head, like, this is Steph Curry. Everybody, and then I think I played a game that day, and everyone shot threes. And from that moment, I said, oh, shit. Like, everybody wants to be Steph Curry. Who can't relate to Steph Curry? He's not real tall. He's not real fast. He's not real strong. Like, everyone says, I could be Steph Curry. I can shoot a three or two. Even though we don't realize the level of just, like, the kid's shot is unbelievable, but that's a whole nother situation. But from that moment on, I said, oh, shit, it's over. This is Steph's lead.
No, that and you were on the vein of how he could potentially blow up very soon. I have to admit, I kind of thought you were being a hater, but you absolutely called it, and he single-handedly has not only changed the league, but he's changed how players are now getting paid, because now these players who quite honestly are really only above average three-point shooters, but just are allowed now to take a higher volume of three-point shots, are now getting paid, because every team now maybe arguably overvalues shooting. So Steph Curry is in part why a Tim Hardaway Jr. sees $70 million. He is in part why teams are now building to try to do this whole stack up and beat the Warriors type thing. Why even several years ago J.R. Smith gets the big contract, because Cleveland wants shooting to go against the Warriors here. So staying with the Warriors, we're actually going to move on to Kevin Durant.
Hold on, Robert. You tried to sneak past me real quick. How do you feel about the owners being billionaires and the players being the millionaires? How do you feel about that whole situation?
Well, okay, so
do you think that these players are making a muck?
We're going to stick with it, and not to derail it, but in order to answer your question, I'm going to kind of move over to the East Coast and go to New York, okay? So one of the few owners that you really hear about.
Everybody hold on.
One of the few owners that we know by name, and not even because of good things, because of the whole Charles Oakley fiasco, and that became a national headline. Mr. One James Dolan, okay, owner of the Knicks, owner of the Rangers. I'm pretty sure he's a majority owner in the entire Madison Square Garden building. Oh boy, when you want to talk about owners that make so much money, have so much power, so much to say in how their franchises move, it really kind of makes it difficult to then kill a player like Melo, which I did, which I was not a Melo fan. I thought the Melo trade was ridiculous. Amari Stoudemire was balling, et cetera, and they got the whole team to get Melo, to win now, to get Melo. And you get the Melo's not a winner. The Melo is not a leader. That every season seemed to get more and more people on board. Now, fast forward to today, Phil Jackson's gone. Knicks are irrelevant in the NBA. But to get to the answer, owners are not. James Dolan is not losing a nickel over the mediocrity of the Knicks so far. So for me to go around and say Melo should take less, or Melo is holding the team hostage, look at his monster contract, it's ridiculous, he shouldn't be getting paid that much. The Knicks could win zero games. Could lose all 82 games. They could still lose all 82 games. James Dolan is not going to lose a nickel. He won't lose a nickel. So it affects that these players are in a very unique situation where the owners, their bosses, essentially, their performance isn't as – it doesn't really make much sense. These owners are going to make so much money either way. And it's really changed my point of view. It's really opened my eyes. This free agency has really been like none other that I've ever seen. And your first reaction when you hear these big numbers is they're getting overpaid. They're just playing basketball. It's just a sport. They don't deserve all this money. But you look a couple levels higher, these owners, it's not just a game to them. This is a business. And kill the players for not loving the game. But, I mean, these owners, it's all about the dollars and cents to them. So I've really sort of switched sides in a way, and I think
so. Now, how do you watch basketball?
Now, watching basketball becomes
how do you watch the game?
It becomes the regular season is tough for me to watch sometimes. I love basketball. I absolutely love basketball, and I still watch. I watch the Knicks games, even though it hurts me. I watch every, I watch the game. I got, the league pass and everything. But when I watch the games, I watch it with, I try to turn my brain off in a way, and I try to just look at the game with a childlike, with a childlike demeanor, because I know if I really think about the skills, the game has changed so much. It's not nearly as physical. I didn't really watch too much of the 80s basketball, but just because I wasn't born at that time. But even the tape I've seen, I watched the old school game. The game is so much different. It's too much shooting. I think it's too much shooting, quite honestly. I think the All-Star game is almost unwatchable. But
it is.
I think with these true. I think what you say with the quality of basketball, it does change. But I think the whole game has changed, and it's definitely not the same game. But these kids, like you said, these kids love it, and I think that's one thing that's great about our league.
They do.
Our sport is that we grab the youth, we grab the kids. So like our game is in good hands. I mean, football's getting killed. Baseball getting killed. Baseball's too old. Football's too dangerous. Basketball's in a sweet spot. You know, basketball is just fun to watch. It's fun to play. It grabs people. And I think that it goes back to the owners making money. It's a marketable thing. It's entertainment. It is fun to be a part of. So we talk, you know, it's our job to talk about it. It's our job to get into the meat and potatoes of it. But it's a game that we all love, and we're going to pay for it. And those owners know that, and they make the bread. They certainly make the bread. You're listening to the Don't Flop podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening, tuning in. We're on Anchor app. This is Rob Streeter. This is James Mitchell. We're talking NBA free agency. We're talking all the good stuff. Big money in the NBA bouncing around. Kevin Durant.
Oh, boy.
Less money to keep that team together.
So he did the opposite.
Kevin Durant
said, I want to win a couple more rings, so I'm going to take less money.
Was that the right thing to do?
Well, I think that's kind of an easy one. I think that just depends on him. Like, it's just, if he wanted a super max or whatever, a max contract, he knew, maybe, I don't know if Golden State would have been able to give him something crazy, but probably not. So I guess at that point, it's whether it's, like you said, like what this whole podcast is about, like almost, are you playing for the cash or are you playing to win rings and leave a legacy? And I feel like Durant is kind of at the point where, like, you know what, I finally won something. I got the monkey off my back. I'm still a millionaire. Like, I'm still good no matter what. Like, maybe if I keep this team together, I can go down in NBA history as one of the greatest. So I think he's kind of taking a different approach, and I'm sure he's making money from endorsements and everything else. But I think he's kind of more concerned about his legacy because that was one of the things he was getting knocked for. He's not going to be able to win. He can't do it. He can't do it. He can't do it. He said, oh, I can't do it. Watch this. I'm on Golden State now. Who the hell is going to stop us? Nobody. Go ahead, Rob. Rob, don't be afraid to just cut me off, too.
I mean, I'm sick that Kevin Durant took less money, quite honestly. I mean, and that's why I'm also think that we're seeing
that. Is that because you
that
feel
what?
These players need to go after the money?
I think when it's time to get paid, you get paid. I don't.
You get paid.
I used to, like I said, and this is a very recent change of heart that I've had. I've always kind of been like, you know, Tim Duncan has took less money for years. Look, he's going to go down in history. Dirk Nowitzki just recently took a pay cut to keep trying to keep his squad together. So I've seen it happen, and you see it rarely. You know, even the David Wests of the world trying to ring chase, you know, instead of taking, you know, he could have been cashing in, making a good $10, $12 million a year, only taking mid-level exceptions to only get, or veteran minimums to only get, you know, 4 or 5. But when you're a superstar, when you're the man, when you're a game changer like Kevin Durant is.
Kevin Durant finished this season as the best player in the NBA.
I can't co-sign that. I can't co-sign that. LeBron James is the best player in the NBA.
He dominated the finals on both ends. Rob, open up your laptop and check the stats. I promise you, he dominated on both ends.
I'm not interested. I love stats. Those stats lie. I'm not interested in those stats. Nah, don't go give me those stats. I don't want those stats. Nah, you're not gonna tell me that LeBron James wasn't the best player in that series. You can't.
He wasn't.
I'm sorry.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant's team allowed him to have a great amount of influence, but you're just not gonna get away with that kind of blasphemy on this show. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Kevin Durant is a great player.
Watch this. All my listeners, watch this. If Kevin Durant is the only reason he was as dominant as he was because of the cast of characters he plays with, then how can you justify Steph getting $200 million if he was only as good as he was because of the cast of characters? So why not take less money and share it because you guys are pretty much only as good as the person next to you?
Nah, see, look. See, don't be confusing me, okay? You can't confuse me like that, okay? Listen. We're talking about getting paid when you can, and you started talking about Kevin Durant was the best player in that series. No.
I was
Kevin
just
Durant,
trying to make a quick fact. I wanted to throw something in there real quick.
And you do it, but now because Kevin Durant should not have taken a pay cut. He should not have taken a pay cut. These owners put that bug in your ear. Oh well, you know, we can't keep the squad together unless you get a little bit of money. But when the collective bargaining time comes around and they go, oh, why don't we get rid of the hard cap and make you just free money everywhere? Owners go, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Owners go, nah, I'm not just opening up my wallet all free and paying all these caps. No. Now, I think that if there was no hard cap, you would actually see players get paid what they're actually worth. But that's a discussion for another episode. But Kevin Durant should not be getting paid less than Steph Curry. Steph Curry said,
I want
my Supermax deal. Steph Curry said, I want my Supermax deal tomorrow, right?
Well, Steph needed it.
Steph needed it, but now, see, the Warriors are going to be are in cap trouble either way coming up because now Draymond Green, he wants his bread. Klay Thompson, I don't know how much longer Klay Thompson is going to want to play under all of these superstars. Klay Thompson was already a
nah, I don't think
Steph.
He won't be around that
now
much
he's
longer.
Going to be. That's
yeah,
what I'm
that's
saying.
True.
Now Klay is already, you know, 3 or 4 at best. So I think the Beatles are already going to break up soon. I don't think it's. I think that was a foolish move. I don't know what Kevin Durant's agent was telling him, but for Kevin to take any less money, I think was a mistake. You can always find new pieces to roll in. I know why doesn't Sean Livingston take less money? Why doesn't Andre Iguodala take less money? If they really want to stay that bad, why aren't they taking less? Kevin Durant is the reason they won that championship.
Yeah.
As you're trying to make that argument that he was the best player on the floor. If he's the big dog, then he needs to eat like the big dog. All right?
I agree.
Oh, man. So we're going to wrap it up. We're going to have some closing thoughts here. This is the Don't Fly Podcast. Rob Streeter, James Mitchell on Anchor app here. We have Twitter going on. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, Don't Fly Podcast at Twitter. Feel free to call into the show, too. I know we got a lot into a lot of different topics today, but feel free, you guys, to call in. We love talking basketball with anybody new. If you're an old fan, if you're new to the game, if you have any thoughts on the Steph Curry deal, James Harden, let us know. It's actually really interesting that all the players that we talked about today were all on one team. Like Steph, Kevin Durant, James Harden.
One more thing. I just read that Russell Westbrook, if he signs his Supermax, it's going to be the richest contract in NBA history. But that's... Hey, don't take it?
I think that might be tomorrow's episode, Russell Westbrook and Paul George. I think that might be our next episode. I think that might be a teaser for tomorrow's episode on how that's going to play out. Because that's a whole other can of worms. Was that even a good move? That was a shocking move. I did not see that coming at all.
I didn't see it coming, but I just, like you said, we're going to save that because I got some my own opinions about that one too. But I want to say this to all the listeners real quick. I want everybody to know, I don't care if you agree, disagree, you like it, you don't like it, call in, talk some shit to us. This is what me and Rob do all the time. We could have probably went on another 30 minutes. But I just definitely want everybody to know, please follow us everywhere. I don't know, what do you subscribe? I don't know what you do, but make sure you tune in to every damn episode, because with me and Rob liable to start arguing, get out of control. You never know what's going to happen when we start talking basketball. Then we might have an episode on the Knicks.
And then that's when emotional. That's when I get real emotional. Talk about the Knicks. Oh, my Lord. The Knicks. Oh, the Knicks. I hope the Knicks listen.
But, yeah, let's wrap this thing up, Robbie.
Absolutely. Everybody, thank you for listening. So thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon with some more heat. This is the Don't Fly Podcast. Don't fly. Stay on your feet. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.